Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm so happy you decided to join us today. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. We own three of them, and I can tell you personally, even before they became sponsors, their customer service is second to none. Every time I've had any issues with any of my machines, going back to the way old ones, they've always taken really good care of me. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com. Oh, and mention us, and they'll give you $450 off. Mention Coach Collins or Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $450 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We always tell our players that they should be working on their craft. I challenge you to work on your craft. Come over, join a community of like-minded coaches who want to make this game better. It's the reason I started Teach Hoops, is to help pay the bills for all these podcasts, but even more importantly, to give back to this great game that has given me so much, and to set up a roadmap for you to be successful, not only on the court, but off the court. And we offer a 14-day free trial. So come over and kick the tires around, see if you like it. And let's head off to the podcast. All right. Welcome, everybody. Today we're talking to Coach Barker. And I'm going to mute my mic, which is not a normal thing for me, a little bit. I'm going to have him kind of introduce himself, kind of explain his basketball journey to us. And then I will jump in. I've got all sorts of questions I'm going to ask him, but so we can just learn a little bit more about him. So go ahead, Coach. I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Yeah. So I started my coaching journey when I moved out west. My wife and I got married, and then 2 days later we moved out, and I always
That's
wanted
quick.
To get involved.
That's quick.
It was like a 24-hour move. So in terms of the distance to get there.
Right.
But yeah. So, I always wanted to get into coaching, and I kind of volunteered and stuff a little bit, but with my job, I wasn't able to do it. And then, you know, one of the pros of moving out there is I didn't find a job right away, and a coaching position, you know, based on timing and year was available. And I just started coaching from there. And the benefit about coaching, I was coaching in Utah, is you could get a lot of opportunities. You know, there was four levels at the school I was at. So, I was a head coach of one level, but then also sat on the bench for the other two and was a varsity assistant, and just got a ton of reps and opportunities to learn and grow. And, you know, a lot of coaching opportunities in the summer. And that's really where I started, you know, the passion for coaching high school basketball. And I did that for 3 years out there, relocated closer to family, and coached 1 year just helping out my buddy. And then an opportunity came up at the high school I'm at, and I was the JV coach for a year. And then now I'll be going into my sixth season as the head girls varsity coach.
Are you still in Utah?
No, I'm back in Wisconsin now.
Okay. And what did you think of Utah?
I loved it. I mean, we were kind of in that Northeast corridor, about 45 minutes to an hour from Wyoming and Colorado.
Oh, that's God's country.
Yeah, 3 hours directly east of Salt Lake area.
Okay. And how were the winters?
Actually, by us in town was not bad at all.
Okay.
Because of, you know, just the climate where we were.
Comparing it to Wisconsin winters, how was it in comparison to Wisconsin winters?
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, we would get snow, but 10 minutes up the mountain, there'd be snow till July 4th. So that was kind of a benefit is, you know, there's all the ski resorts and
right.
just right out the back of our house. It was a 10-minute drive. You'd be up in the mountains and there'd be snow, like I said, you know, 6-7 months with a lot of snow up there. So, but in town, I mean, there was two winters we were there. Snow hardly lasted, you know, a day or two on day the ground.
Were you coaching girls there too?
I coached boys when I was out west.
Okay.
I coached boys for 3 years.
Okay. And what do you think the difference is? What did you learn there that you could use with the mm-hmm. girls, and what was the difference? What was the similarities between those two?
Yeah. So the schools, are pretty different. The school out there was, not the biggest classification, but there was about 1600 kids in the high school, and where I'm at here is like 600. So there's some differences due to that as well.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing out there is, you know, with the guys is, there was just so much talent and so much athleticism. And with the girls, you know, they're much more willing to listen and be coached. And, you know, if you tell them to run this, they're going to run it and they're not really going to deviate. On the boys side, you know, we had some very talented players, but also at the same time, you know, they just want to make plays. And they want to, you know, like obviously they're trying to win, but, you know,
right.
they're trying to make the plays, and the girls, you know, are more willing to, I guess, play the play out and, you know, work together as a team.
Did you notice any difference in buy-in, like, you know, off season or mm-hmm. how did off season work? Was that similar to Wisconsin? Again, this is intriguing
yeah.
more than anything. That's why I'm walking down this trail. Like, did you have contact in the summer? How was that mm-hmm. different than our specific rules in Wisconsin?
So they have moratorium periods. So what that means is for those 2 weeks, you can't practice or have any contact with the players. But outside of that, you're free to do what you would like to do. So, I mean, in the summer, we'd play one summer, I think we played about 50 games. You know, we were in the gym 5 days a week. You know, never did anything on Sundays, occasionally a couple tournaments on Saturdays, but it was mainly Monday to Friday. And outside of those moratorium periods, you know, we probably didn't go a week without, you know, being in the gym with players, to be honest with you. So a lot more open gyms, a lot more games being played than what you can do in Wisconsin.
That's interesting. I wonder why that is. That'd be a good thing to go down someday. I think
I still talked to a couple coaches there, but I haven't asked them if any of the rules have changed. I was last year a coach there would have been 7 years ago. So I'm not sure if they've adjusted anything.
Yeah.
Since then,
most of them have kind of stayed the same as far as the rules in the off season. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And then when you came back to Wisconsin, you were assistant at the beginning.
Yeah, so I just helped out my buddy because I was working as an accountant at a tax firm.
Okay.
So I was only able to really be around until January. And then once January hit, I was, you know, at most of the games, but probably only one practice a week. So I helped him out on the boys. He was a boys JV coach. And then the year after that is when I got the girls JV head coach at the school I'm at. And then from there, you know, it'll be going into my seventh year with the school. Six years varsity head coach.
Okay. And what did you notice the bigger difference becoming the JV to the varsity other than those 8 inches on the bench, the slide down that I referred to it as?
Yeah, no, I would say there's a lot of changes, you know, as a JV coach, depending on what varsity coach you are working for, you know, they include you in more things than others do. But I mean, just a lot of, you know, with the school, there's more meetings you have to attend being a head coach, you know, speak to the newspaper, speak to the radio. I really enjoy doing both of those, but those are just things like after games, you know, my family is like, hey, where'd you go? And I'm like, well, want to talk to everybody, not keep them waiting. So
right.
Those are some of the smaller things than, you know, having to make all the decisions in terms of when the bus leaves, you know, planning out the budget for the off season, planning out all the open gyms.
Right, the buck stops with you, basically.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
That's one of the big things. All right, so I'm going to ask you some basketball specific things. If you could only do three things at practice, mm-hmm. what would you do and why?
Yeah, so first I would do ball handling. And for ball handling, we do this typically every single day. You know, we change it up of how we do it. But lately what we've been doing is we've been doing sideline to sideline on the move ball handling. And with the clock, you know, it'll be about every 30 seconds. We'll change up what type of moves you're doing and work on retreat dribbles. That's a big one we like to work on with the ball handling. And then the last 2 minutes of the 5 minute session will be the partner ball handling. And we do that stationary as well on the move, you know, and we keep them moving. I really don't.
Do you think that's a skill that's weak for the girls, ball handling?
I would say overall in general, yes. At the, you know, we're Division II in Wisconsin. The top programs, I think, you know, everyone on the court can ball handle. But when you get towards the middle of your conference or towards the bottom, most teams have probably two or three main ball handlers. And I think that's something that, you know, our team is definitely excelled with is, you know, we have a lot of people that can ball handle. So that's one thing I strongly believe in everyone being able to ball handle. And that's one thing, you know, that we definitely want to emphasize in one of those three things. The other thing I'd work on would be like one-on-one finishing and working on finishing because
like the drill. Yeah. I like that.
Yep. Because I mean, you're working on defensively not fouling and then finishing. So those are the two of the three. The third one, I guess, once again, kind of speaking, maybe not necessarily to how I coach, but it would be two-on-one side, top side. That's another drill that we do every day. So, it, you know, the players are at a disadvantage when they're on defense is the one. And, you know, they have to work on the different angles on the offensive side based on, you know, if they're starting on the side, top or side and figure out the spacing. So those three things would be what I'd work on. And, you know, we like to play fast. And I believe in all players on the team need to be able to ball handle, finish, and then defensively, you know, when you're at a disadvantage, be able to contest without falling and
you got to get easy buckets. Find a way. Pass. I always tell coaches, you always got to find a way to get easy buckets. Like how mm-hmm. can you get easy buckets? Like, is it transition? Is it out of bounds plays? Is it quick hitters? There's got to be a way that,
yep.
Or maybe you got a guy or a gal mm-hmm. that like a Caitlin Clark, like you got someone, they're mm-hmm. going to just go get you buckets. So you don't have to worry about it as much. I know it's, yeah. Okay. Perfect. How do you practice plan?
Yeah, so I have changed this over the years, and I've listened to a lot of different podcasts and yours as well. I've listened from day one when I was coaching out west, and I've reached out to you a couple times. So I always appreciate all the help you've provided. When it comes to the practice planning, I've kind of adjusted this as we have our first 45 minutes of practice are essentially the same every day. And then we work on what we need to kind of in the middle block of practice. And then towards the end of practice, it's more skill work, shooting, and free throws definitely is one that we hit every single day. So our first 15 minutes of every practice is ladders, bands, agility, core. And we do that for 15 minutes on the court every single day. Really beneficial on the girls' side.
And that, yeah, with knees yep. and hips mm-hmm. and oh yeah, all that stuff. It's like, has that helped? Have you think that you've seen some observational studies of that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've had two injuries the last 2 years. One, a girl was going one direction on defense, get a loose ball. The opponent was coming and she stepped on her foot and then she tore her MCL. So I mean, it's a contact injury. And then the other one,
bad luck on that one. Yep. Yeah.
And the other one was kind of similar. Last game of the year, a girl got her foot stepped on and she just strained her calf. But outside of that, we've had no rolled ankles, you know, essentially what I call it's like contact injuries. We've had two of those and we've had nothing else. And in the girls' games in particular, you know, they're playing down on the ground. So the more quickness you have and also being able to handle those bumps or, you know, with stronger lower half and, you know, protect your knees, like you said. So we do that every single day. and, you know, thoroughly believe in that. And then from there, we go right into our 5-minute ball handling. Then from that, we go into 5-minute one-on-one finishing. Then we do our 5-minute two-on-one. And then from there, we do free throws. And then after the free throws, we'll go into five-spot shooting, where the players have to make five before they miss three. And we have 5 minutes to go all five spots. So if you're at like the third spot and you miss the third, you're all the way back to the first spot. And we really like that. Because they have to emphasize, and we always say, like, when it's at two misses, we always just say, gotta have it, right? Because if you miss that third one, you're back to the beginning, and you see the players really start to support each other. And when they're not talking, you know, as coaching staff, we have to, you know, say, hey, I get it. There's a minute left and we're at spot one. We might not make it all the way, but there's no reason you're not being a teammate right now. Right. You know, have to continue. So that's a good one that we really like to emphasize, you know, passes to the targets, being ready, because you can't waste any time. You got to work as a team and get up your shots. So we do that. And then from there, we go into what we call another finishing, like horseshoe finishing, where we'll break them up to three hoops, typically four players per hoop. And you have to go 50, depends on the day. We'll either go 25 makes in a row, 50 total makes, and then third block, same thing, we'll go different numbers though. So let's just say we're going makes in a row. We'll go 25, 10, and then 10 from the elbow. Okay. And we'll do that. And then we'll do free throws and a water break. And that's typically our first 45 minutes of practice.
I like that.
Right there. And then
how do you pivot in the second half?
Yeah. So right out of break, we're a full court defensive team. We run a 1-3-1 with a couple modifications in the full court. And that's what we've run all but two possessions this past season. And last year, I think we're about 95% running that. And anyways, so what we do from there is we'll work on a 1-3-1 depending on the day, how close we are to a game. We'll either do it in the full court or we'll do it in the half court. And typically we just transition right into that. And if we're going in the full court, we'll go 3 minutes per group. But when I say group, it's not like equal fives. We'll do our five starters and then we'll rotate in a couple subs and, you know, continue to work that. So we'll have about 15 minutes of 1-3-1 full court if it's a full court day, or we'll do 1-3-1 half court if it's a half court day based on, you know, proximity to a game and kind of what the coaches are feeling on, you know, energy and the players, you know, levels of fatigue.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. What do you think the hardest thing to teach a practice is?
Yeah, I would say, like, for us, it's typically plays. Plays are the hardest because I feel like, you know, kind of what you're hearing from me is we like to do things fast and we like to have a routine. And plays is kind of what can hold that up, right? Because you want them to be able to get that understanding. And then also you want all the players to be able to get adequate number of reps. So sometimes it'll take 5 minutes to put in two plays because, you know, you want all the players, you know, all the rotations to get their reps and their – you know, opportunity to learn the play. So a lot of times, you know, we put in plays, but I would say we more situationally put into plays. So I think like this year we ran 44 different blobs on the season. But at all times we didn't run that many, you know, right. So like we know like the next two opponents run a zone out of bounds play. So, or an out of bounds defense. So then we put in like four, you know, zone blobs and then, you know, we might not use them the rest of the season. And then based on matchups and there's,
and how do the girls yep. do on picking those up?
Blobs phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think part of that's how we have it structured.
Okay.
So we have four different blob formations. So we have low, high line and box. Kind of self-explanatory, I guess, but
yep.
Low is four across the bottom. Then we have a high, which is four across at the elbows. Box okay. is box, and line is, we either go line strong or line weak.
Okay.
Which is, you know, stern right at the block. Straight line.
Yeah.
And
that's,
so
that's probably 90% of all out of bounds plays are fall into one of those four categories. Probably.
Yeah, yeah. We do have a couple special sets that we call like offsets, and those are against zones typically when we line up that way. But so what we do then is we'll do 10 is the first, like the base play, and 20 is the counter to 10. And then 30 is a base, 40 is the counter to 30. 50 is a base, and like on low, that's our main one. We ran all the way up to 100. 10 different ones, but it's typically, you know, you line up in one formation, you run the play, and then the next time we call the counter to it. And then there's some that honestly, you know, like high 10, it's super basic. The two inside just do an X, and the two on the outside, you know, just either go straight down to the corner or kind of find a spot. But we'll run that almost the entire season, and we'll get layups off it. Or, you know, we like to run that one against a 2-3 zone, and we just essentially have all four players go straight down, and the zone has a hard time picking it up.
So what is why do you think blobs are easier than plays or quick hitters? Like, could you not do the same thing for both of them?
I think it's timing, to be honest, because when the ref hands the ball, the players know to react. Instead of in transition, you know, one girl might be quicker to her corner, to her spot, right? And also the defense can dictate it. So against on a blob defense, the defense is stationary. They don't really have an opportunity to dictate it. I mean, some teams will have, you know, they'll play the inbounder. Other teams won't play the inbounder. Some teams will always double off the first pass. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it's, my opinion is the defense is stationary reacting to the offense when normally, you know, normal play, the defense has the advantage. If they're trying to take away or choke your first pass, then, you know, it's really going to disrupt the timing of your half court set.
I like that. That's true. Do you have a coaching moment or a coaching failure that another coach could learn from? I've got so many anyway.
Yeah. I mean, there's honestly been a lot over the years. I guess one moment that just stands out is when I was coaching out West, you know, I was younger at the time, and I was all into, you know, learning as many plays as I could, learning as many drills as I could, you know, trying to have creative drills every day. And, you know, I guess I was just getting discouraged with the results and stuff. And, you know, one of the coaches I didn't really talk to that often on staff, because, you know, I was new to the area and didn't really know of him prior to it. About halfway through the season, he just, you know, made a comment to me like, hey, I just wish, like, you know, the players I coach would respect and like have as much, I guess, confidence in me and, you know, the connection that you do with them. And I'm like, well, I don't really, you know, understand that or feel that at the time. Like I said, being a younger coach, I'm like, oh, there's so much more for me to learn. You know, we're not winning a ton of games and so on. And I guess that moment just made me realize like, hey, if like, and I tell my coaching staff all the time, like, if we're going to lose, we're going to lose because of the X's and O's. Like, I'd much rather have all of us, you know, with connections with the players.
Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. If you'd like to support us, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Also, subscribe and like. We do appreciate those. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.